I feel like I've been talking about our speaker today forever, and I don't care if you're sick of it, I'm gonna do it again. So I am so, I can't put into words how amazing it is to have Laura Griffiths here with us today. She has impacted my life and my family's life, and ultimately this church family, in ways that she's never ever gonna know. But she carries such a high belief and love for people. And she calls people up higher. I've told this story before. I don't know if you've heard it, but we had a young guy from Canada serving with us. And he's a literal lumberjack, like 6 foot, big burly guy, beard, always wore flannels, beanie, like the whole getup. And he's this huge guy, and he told Laura, after watching her and serving her with these kids and the way that she loved them and called them up higher and just challenged them to step up into all who God created them to be, he told her, "Laura, you are the nicest, scariest person I've ever met in my life." And it's so true, and not scary like they're scared of her, but her belief in people is so, like, she sees how God sees them. And it's like, oh my gosh, like, that's who God says I am. Like, I don't wanna let her down. I don't wanna let God down. Like, I need to step up and step into all that he has for me. And so I am so excited, and I can't believe she's here, but she's here. But let's welcome Laura Griffiths.
I catch the
Good morning. I'd like to open with prayer if I could before we get started. So, I used to pray, Lord, all of you. In other words, none of me. But that's not really how God works. He works with who we are and who he's created us to be. And he wants my life and my experiences to partner with him. And so what I want, Lord, is I want more of you. Help me to hear. Help me to speak with the words that you have given me. And then, Lord, implant the seeds in the hearts of those that are here. Thank you, Jesus. Now, the next thing I want to do is I would like you to be humble. And if you are 70 or older, would you raise your hand? Thank you for volunteering to be my intercessors today. So, I'm turning 70 this year, and God can do all kinds of things, but you guys above everybody else will understand that some of the time you go offline. You know, like I was going to say something, but or a name won't come to you. It'd be like, when Steph was telling this story, I was like, oh, David. That's right, it's David. You got to think just a minute. So please be interceding for me. And I want to thank you all. Oh, I got to look at the time. Because I told somebody when Pastor Dean was speaking this weekend to a core group, I'll call it a core group, he was explaining about the way he rolls with the Holy Spirit, the way he preaches. And I was like, I do that. I'm not exactly the same because we're all unique and different, but I thought, I do exactly that. But for the longest time when I was first speaking, I thought that was like second class or not good enough or, because I started out like I would sit with the Lord and I'd like type the whole thing out. And then I'd stand in front of people and I'd like sit here and like try to read it. That doesn't work. Like it was It was absolutely horrid for those poor people. Jesus blessed them. Because it was just, can you imagine, I'm standing up here like reading you a book, you know, like it just doesn't work. And then I tried to be like Danny Silk, if any of you know him, and the whole PowerPoint thing, you know, like, and that was horrid too, because I'm just kind of techie, which is dangerous. So then I'm like trying to operate something and like flow with the Holy Spirit, and that doesn't work either. And I finally learned to be Laura, to just relax in him. And the words that the Lord gave me is, I'm doing a divine dance with the Holy Spirit when I'm up here. So I have a framework here, but I have no idea how much of it will get shared with you. But the Lord knows me, so he knows that I need a crutch. You know, like I need to like have a bit, and I need to, obviously I've been praying for you since Steph and I first talked, which, when was that? March. Okay, was it that long ago? So I've been praying for you for that long. I've been stalking you online. I am now, whether you want me or not, I'm now part of Catalyst Community because I'm listening to your sermons online. And it was great to, I felt like, you know, obviously, who would not like Pastor Barry? And then I felt this huge heart connection when Ross spoke not too long ago. And is Dawn here? You guys shared on Father's Day, Dawn and Lauren and Jeremy. Like, yeah, like, I mean, I just connected with you. And I thought, okay, I don't know if they want me or not, but, like, I want them, you know. So I just want to thank you for inviting me. It's just touched me so much. Thank you. Thank you so much. Part of the reason that I'm here is because of Dean and Carrie. So who I am is a children's pastor at the core. I love kids. It's a call in my life. Like people, you know, people that knew me and work with me, it's like, Laura, they're going to be pushing you in a wheelchair and you're going to be ministering to kids. And yeah, if I have the opportunity, that totally is me because I am after them. I believe they're important in the body of Christ and we need to be raising them up to be leaders in the kingdom. And so I am after them. So children's pastor, and through that, Pastor Dean and Carrie, I was on staff at Bethel Church, if you know about that, some of you will, some of you may not, and we were doing some crazy stuff with kids, you know, like new, out of the box, fresh stuff with the Holy Spirit, and so they graciously invited me, and the first time I went, I did stuff, I don't have time to go into everything. And then the second time they invited me back, and both times I'm Laura, who works with fifth and sixth graders primarily, middle school, love middle schoolers. I know that has to be God, right? Like, yeah. So work with middle schoolers, absolutely love them. They're my favorite. Invited me to do things, but both times when I was invited, I'm like sort of kind of in the background, like I serve leaders, I set things up, I have my own things that I love and the Lord's using me in, but they're just a little bit hidden, and you know, there's people above me that are above me, you know, maybe not in the kingdom, but you know, in the church, so to speak. You know, there's a hierarchy, you know, there has to be. Somebody's got to be in charge. Somebody's got to take the blame, huh? the second time I came, I talked to Dean on the phone. He wasn't going to be there. Carrie would be there. And he said, I want you to preach on Sunday. We typically would come in for several days. And I'm like, oh, no. I didn't know Dean that well then. Like, I don't know, if you guys, anybody's had any time with him, you're like, that's just not going to work. Like, you know, because he hears from the Lord. And what he did was to see me the way the Lord saw me. Oh, thank you so much, just in case, thanks. He saw me the way the Lord saw me, and he knew God wanted to do something in me. And he trusted the Lord. He had no idea what if I could speak, and the answer was no. I had never spoken on a Sunday, ever. I had traveled all over the world spoke to hundreds of people. I could talk all day about children's ministries. I can train you. I can teach you what the Holy Spirit's taught me. But put me in front of a Sunday group, and I felt inadequate, unprepared, and that God could surely not use me. Like, I didn't know what to do. And so it was a forced thing. I mean, I mean this in all seriousness. Get ready. He's calling you higher. Get ready. And we'll talk a little bit about what that is. So the first time I ever spoke on a Sunday was at his church. He wasn't even there. So, but Carrie was there. So, you know, and Michelle and Aaron, if you've met them, they were there. We were good friends. They were coming back and forth to our camps and our worship schools and just built a heart connection. So how I ended up here, Pastor Barry heard from the Holy Spirit ultimately, because he's placed someone in his pulpit that he's never met until Thursday. But he trusted Steph, and he trusted Dean and Carrie, and he trusted the Holy Spirit ultimately to place me here and what the Lord had. So I spoke, and I stood up, and I thought, oh, gosh, I don't know what to do. What do Bethel people do? You know, like, what's Bill do? You know, like, I don't know what to do. And I was traveling with a young man who was young enough to be my son, but was also my leader. He was my boss, and he's there. And so I chicken out. And I'm like, I'm going to call Seth up, and we'll, like, prophesy, and he'll do most of it, you know, like, because he's very prophetic. I don't like to prophesy. In fact, I used to go to conferences at Bethel. Oh, by the way, I'm telling you all this. I want to bear my life before you, because I want you to pick up the things in my life that you go, ooh, I do that. And I want you to see how God has transformed me over my life to where I am now. So, side note. So I chicken out. I call Seth up. He's my backup. I think, gosh, if we could prophesy long enough, meaning Seth, then the service would be over. That would be like, done. I can scoot on out of here. And so I did that. And the reason I was a chicken is because for years, I was a God chaser. So I lived at the time in Woodland, California. It's near the Sacramento airport. And there was a lot of revival things popping up. It was the whole Pensacola, Toronto, all of that stuff. And there'd be like, Bill and Carol are not. And somebody mentioned Paul Kane. I don't know who it was, but Paul Kane. And we would drive for hours to go see these people, come back, go to work, drive to go see them, like, you know, no sleep. So we were like, I was a God chaser. And but when I went to Bethel, Chris Vallotton used to stand up on the stage in his conferences, and he'd go like, I won't do it to you. Well, I don't know. I might if the Holy Spirit tells me to. But he used to stand up on stage and he'd like, everybody stand up. And so like the first time, you know, like I was raised Catholic. I'm an obedient Catholic girl. And the pastor says, stand, you stand. So I stood up, and then he says, turn to your right and prophesy over that person. I could have thrown up. I could have thrown up. Okay, so what I want you to catch out of this, it's a funny story, but what I want you to catch is I heard a lie of the enemy. He knows you. I know God knows you, but your enemy knows you. And he knows exactly how to lie to you. And this is the lie that I heard, because I really, even though I'm a scary person, I'm nice, I'm kind, I'm loving, I'm genuine. Anyone that I've had any kind of interaction here with, I'm going to remember you and be praying for you as you're brought to mind. I don't like come in and then go home and I'm done. It's been like 12 years since we've seen each other, huh? Maybe about then. And we just, Carrie and I are over there. like we've never been apart, you know? So that's the kingdom, isn't it? And anyway, what I heard was, you're not going to get a word And they're going to think that God doesn't love them because you didn't get a word. And the enemy knew what lie to tell me because I care about people and I love them. So I'm smart. And the second time I went, and subsequent times after that, I could feel it coming because I'm also a feeler and a discerner. And I could feel it coming. So I got up and pretended I had to go to the restroom and walked into the bathroom and stayed in the stall until I felt like the whole thing was over with. And I had a good timing of it. So I'd walk back in like I'd been in the bathroom and I never had to prophesy. And that was what that came from that time. I thought, I'll call Seth up. So oddly enough, we stood up and Seth went first, and then I thought, okay, I can do a little one. You know, like I hear God, I can do a little one, I'll be brave. It was the fear of being wrong. It was the fear of missing it. And that same thing again, I'd say something that was wrong, a performance thing. And so I did one, and the minute Seth, it was fine when Seth spoke, if I remember correctly. I started to say something, and about over here in their church, a man stands up and starts screaming at me like demon possession, like screaming at me. And I'm like, honestly, this is the craziest thing. God's so good. And they have I know you've probably heard a lot about them, but amazing church, just like you guys. In fact, you feel so much the same. It's incredible. So they must have had like demon possession drills on Wednesday nights for like a team. Cause like it was like crazy. Like it was like boom, 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 boom. The men all like, and then out he went. And my first thought was, did you? No? You didn't, not back then, but you do now, don't you? So my first thought was, you think I would panic and shut down, but I didn't. The thought that I had was, whoa, the enemy sent a demon to shut me down. Like what? Who I am, what I carry, and what I say must be a bit bigger than what I'm thinking it is. So that's a bit of the story of Dean and Carrie and Unified, the Ohana church that they are. I haven't spoken on a Sunday since. Traveled all over the world, been on every continent but Antarctica. Spoke to hundreds of people about children's ministries, but I haven't spoken on a Sunday since until you guys invited me. And here I am again, full circle. So I want to talk about the Holy Spirit. And because of the kids, we're going to do, if you're not signed up and you have children, you should be there if you can. We're going to do 5 sessions on the Holy Spirit. He's our comforter, our protector, our guide, our helper, our messenger, all of those things. And I've got this story from Hawaii about that I think the profoundness just recently, I didn't realize he saved my life, I don't think, at the time. I really don't. It didn't hit me. So Michelle and Aaron and the boys took us to the ocean on the windward side, which is not a prophetic name. It's an actual name. It is windy. And because of that, there's a lot of waves. And so, you know, I've got my bathing suit on, and the guys are going to go out and, like, they're doing, I don't know what they were doing, something more physical than I wanted to do. So I'm just going to go out there and float in the salt water, you know, like be with Jesus in the water. And so I go out, and Aaron turns around as he's heading out, and he says, "Don't turn your back on the waves." And I'm like, okay, like kind of intense, you know, but all right. So, and you're all laughing. Have you been to Hawaii? And who's been to Hawaii and turned their back on the waves? Nobody turned their back? Oh. So listen to smart people, especially if they're firemen. So anyway, let me finish the story. So I'm out there like floating, and I don't have my glasses on, so you know, I'm nearsighted. So you're all little slightly fuzzy now. And I'm out there, and I see kind of off, not quite arm's length, maybe two arm's length, I see this blue thing kind of back and forth, and I'm like, what is that? Is that trash? Is that like a paper plate, somebody's birthday party plate? What is that? And I know nothing about the ocean or Hawaii or the windward side, or I don't know anything. So I go just about like this, and a panic hits me, and I hear, don't touch it. Not an audible voice from heaven, but inside. Don't touch it. Get away fast. And so I'm like, it hit me like a panic. It's like somebody yelled, shark in the water. And I'm like, I'm out of there. So I'm like swimming back. And I'm in such a hurry, I forgot not to turn my back on the waves. So I got my first loofah spa treatment in Hawaii. So I get to the point where the waves are breaking, my back is to them, and it knocks me down, scoots me through all that lovely loofah treatment that's at the bottom of the ocean, and sucks me back out. Well, Michelle Okamura is sitting on the beach, and when I got up, you know, like all drenched and shocked, honestly, I look up and she's like... And so I like try again, you know, like Dora. I'm trying again. So I like do it again. I'm telling you, it was three or four times, and every time Michelle had a different expression. One time she was like... The next time she had her hands on her head, you know. And I really think an angel must have got me out of there, because that cycle was just going to continue until, I mean, like, it was, I thanked Unified that Sunday morning for their spa treatment that they treated me to, but it was just a funny, but yet a story about how the Holy Spirit is with you. That was the Holy Spirit that protected me from a Portuguese man of war. And that's a likely visit to the hospital, if not death. You know? They're like, look them up. I mean, it's not often. I don't think it's super often that people die from them, but it's not your regular jellyfish sting. It's serious. So they would have had to call an ambulance. And yeah, anyway. So I'm going to look at this. We're living in a season where you are going to need the Holy Spirit like never, ever, ever before. I do a bunch of evers, but you get the point. We are going to have to walk so closely with the Holy Spirit. We need His discernment. We need wisdom. We don't need information. We've got all kinds of sources for information. It's how do we process that information? How do we discern what Father God is doing? Because I want to be about my Father's business. I want to be right in line with what He's doing. And so we need the Holy Spirit more than ever before. Pastor Bill Johnson talks about wearing the Holy Spirit, having Him wear us like a glove. Like, He's that close. Sometimes lately, probably the last month or two, I've been like, you know how Eskimos do like a little nose kiss face to face? When I pray, I'll do this, and I'm like, Holy Spirit, come close. I want to be face to face with You, so close. I want to drive down the street, and I want to hear the Holy Spirit say, turn left. And I'm obedient. You know, I don't have, but I would be like, I used to be like, okay, why? You know, nobody in here does that, I know. But I want to just go. I want to be so obedient that I just go. And that's what He's calling us to, is to be that close. So you guys can put up the first slide. I'll kind of walk you through it. And I'm so glad. I'm just blessed them. I'm so thankful for them. I don't have to be like Danny Silk and click a clicker and lose my train of thought and all that's lovely. So I thought about this and I thought, what if with God all things really are possible? The Bible says with man this is possible, but with God all things are possible. And I thought, you're going to question that. I was like, what is she questioning, the word of God? No, but I wonder if we really believe that. We say it. We think we mean it. But do we walk it out? I wonder, do we? Do we really believe it? You can go on to the next one. So, how would you live differently if you believed there was a lion inside of you? How would you live your life differently for the Lord? Because you have a lion living inside of you. Is Colleen here? Colleen, who testified? Is she here? Ah, oh, bless you. Like, because I was stalking you. I saw you testify. She did it afraid. I mean, when I was watching her, I thought, gosh, that was hard for her. You know, but she was obedient, and she did it, and she took that first step. Some of you, we're all on a different journey. Some of you are at the same place she is. And you need to kind of link arms and encourage each other to go further, go deeper, get closer, so you can hear the Holy Spirit's voice and go after everything that God has. Some of you might be farther along, and that's okay. What she did, you might have, it's like, oh, that's good for Colleen, yay, you know, cheered her on. But, you know, you've been doing that for a bit, and that's okay. I had Paul sitting back here, lovely man of God. I'll be great in heaven, I want you to know, because I could sit in worship. Like, I could do, like, I told Ross, I could do 4 hours, 6 hours. I could do 4 days. Just let me use the restroom. And, like, I want to worship, like, all the time. So I was sitting in the back. I came in when they were warming up. And he came over to me and said, I just see you, and you're dancing before the Lord, and it's beautiful. And I thought he saw me Friday night, because I have flags. I'll warn you, I'll bring them tonight. But I have flags. I teach flagging to kids. And I thought he saw me Friday night, but no, he saw me in the Spirit, is what he saw. So what Paul did was actually prophesy over my life. It's a scary, I don't want to ask for hands. Okay, so for a lot of people, that whole prophetic thing, like me, hiding in the bathroom, you know, running away from it, calling Seth up, and it got worse. It got worse, if you can believe it. I started traveling with him. We went to South Africa, and I was the prop girl, remember? So we had a little thing we taught kids with, and it had like a blanket, Holy Spirit's comfort, you know, had all the little visual aids, and that was my job. I ran the book table, I taught kids, and I was the prop girl, and I did my job. And I go back and I sit on the front row there, because I'm also an intercessor, so I'm going to intercede for him while he's speaking. And he says, Laura, would you come up here? And I was like, looking, I'm like, did I forget something? Like, did I not put one of them out from our suitcases, you know, like there? And I go, what? And he said, turn around. I'm like, all right. And he goes, I want you to prophesy. There were 500 people in Durban, South Africa. And I thought I would throw up. I mean, I seriously, honestly, I'm telling you this because I want you to begin somewhere. So if you or me, begin. So I looked out at the audience and actually, there was a lady, I was like, okay, what do we teach the kids? Jesus, 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 bring it back, you know? And it's look for someone to highlight, you know, is how we teach them. It was a lady in a green shirt, just like you this morning, and highlighted her. And I don't remember what I said about the green shirt, probably something about life, you know, I don't know what I said. And I don't remember. And I did this, like, when it was done, you know, not audibly, but in me. And I thought, okay, and I started to head back. He goes, oh, no, do it again. So see, Like Dean, Seth saw something in me that the enemy was trying to keep back and that I needed to break free from. And even though it sounded very nice, didn't it? You'll hurt someone's feelings, you'll be wrong, you'll be embarrassed, you know, all of those things. He wanted me to take a risk and keep taking it. And Seth actually, that pretty much broke it off of me. And since then, I have felt the Lord say to me that this is, it's a little bit, it's so much, it was eerie. It's like Dean was talking about. He said, if you want to progress and go farther, you'll have to stand up and prophesy in front of people and take a risk. And so I started faithfully doing that. And I have something this morning. Let me find it, because I have to write it down. Where did you go? Ah, here we are. Okay, so when I was at home, I thought, I gotta do this again. So I felt like there was a Sally or a Susan or both. I don't know. And maybe you're here. Are you here? Sally or Susan? Is there a Susan? Can you? Oh, good, good. So I recognize you. So I couldn't quite get it. You know, sometimes you won't, and that's okay. It's all right. You don't have to be perfect. God will fill in the cracks, you know? So the word I got, and he'll use your natural things that you know. So I'm a sourdough baker since COVID. You know, I'm one of those. And I've gotten very good at it. I'm all in on everything. I got the pots. I got everything. So I believe that he was using that also in the word as my understanding of cooking and that kind of thing. But I feel like you have a problem. The Lord said to you, there's a problem that you've been trying to like sort out with him. And you haven't been able to solve it yet. And I feel like he just wants me to reassure you that he is going to give you the recipe, the ingredients, and the instructions about how to, you know, sometimes you have to like beat the eggs and then add the flour. And so there's like a step-by-step process, and he's going to walk you through that. So you got a couple examples about the prophetic. I'm going to read. You can put up the 1 Corinthians, just so they have it. Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another the faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by one Spirit, and to another effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So the gift of faith is kind of what I want to focus on a little bit, because it provides you with extraordinary faith, something bigger than just faith, extraordinary faith in God's promises, his power and presence, so that you can take heroic stands for the kingdom. The gift of faith is a strong and unshakable confidence in God, his word, and his promises. Noah built an ark with the gift of faith. Abraham offered Isaac with the gift of faith. Moses crossed the Red Sea with, can you imagine? I mean, like, none of it can I imagine, but that one kind of hits me. By faith, and by faith, the walls of Jericho fell. And there's a lot of them. You know, in the Bible, there's a lot of them. And we kind of, we've read the Bible enough that it feels a little ordinary, doesn't it? It becomes something that we've done a lot, and you can like skip right by all that without realizing how extraordinary it was. And I believe that I believe that we can ask for gifts and he will give them. And you're going to need all of those. But you're going to need the gift of faith where God is walking you. Can you put up that next slide? So Thursday night, when Dean was speaking, I got this picture just about like that. I searched to try and find the exact one and couldn't. And I'm like, what is that, Lord? And I felt like the Lord said, that's catalyst. They're being placed as a church with gears and cogs, and it's all going to flow just smoothly. Like you're just going to, like a machine. You know, if you can imagine that thing running. And he was preaching, and I didn't want to miss it, so I just hung on to that. And when I could get alone with the Holy Spirit, I wanted to know more. Like, what is the more of that? What I wanted to know specifically is, what does that machine do? Like, why are they a machine like that? Why are you showing me a picture like that? What are they producing? And when I got with the Lord, what I felt was I could see these hearts coming out. Like it was ka-choo, ka-choo, ka-choo. And they were a little bit puffy, probably because of my children's ministries background. And, you know. and they would come out, and I'm like, okay, so they're hearts. But what about them, Lord? I knew love. And what I saw next was there was like a incense, a smoke almost coming off of them. And he said, I've given each one a different scent. And it's like incense to me. And it will be to the community, to where you are. And I'm excited. You know that verse in the Bible? Greater works will you do than I have done? Now, we've seen some crazy things. I don't know if I'd put them in greater works. I'm waiting for greater works. I want to live to see a great awakening. Not a renewal or a revival, which that's fine. I'm not against that. I want the great awakening that sweeps the earth. And you are meant to be part of that. You're not supposed to watch it from the seats. You're supposed to be in the middle of it. You're supposed to embrace your place. Which cog are you? Which one of those are you? What is your role and your place in a great awakening that sweeps the earth? We are being set up. Okay, let me find this. The world's crying out. It really is. I got to find it. There was a headline this morning. Where did I put it? I sit with the Lord, and then there'll be like something else. I got to put my notes in there, and then they get all jumbled after a little bit. There was a headline. Where did I put it? It was, I wanted to read it exactly. Well, not there. Where did I put it? Okay, so I guess I'm not going to read it exactly. The headline today in the UK, the newspaper came out, and I'm talking big headline. Gen Z is returning to the church in great numbers because of the crises that are happening in the world. They're turning, Gen Z, turning back to God because of the crises that we're like not real happy about, right? But God's using that, using all these crazy things. So we need to be like praying and asking the Lord. When you see a headline, instead of panicking or trying to figure out what in the world's going on with government or any of that kind of thing, ask the Holy Spirit how to pray into it, how to partner with what the Father's doing, because he's doing something even in those crises, and he's going to use you in your land. Every one of you, if you choose, it will be your choice. It will ultimately be your choice. He won't force you. The other thing I did was, I've got some slides. I'm going to go back to what the Lord had me do. It's been a while ago, but I believe that how he's going to use it is, as seeds. The Holy Spirit's going to take what I did and morph it in you to get ideas about what you will do here. Because he, don't copy. You know, Pastor Bill, I would be where he was speaking and, you know, hear him say, don't copy us. Be you. And it's hard being Bethel. Like, you don't necessarily want to be us. Like, it's hard. So I looked up catalysts. Here's what it says. The dictionary. An agent that provokes or speeds significant change or action. The agent is typically a very small percentage of the whole. And for some of you, because you've been in that core group, you're hearing some things the second time. And I have to tell you, Pastor Barry spoke last Sunday, and I'm like, it's part of what I was going to say. You know? And then Dean has been sharing some of this, not exactly, but some of this. And I'm like, I was going to say that. And then the Holy Spirit said, yeah, no, I want you to say it still. I want you to say it. So, and if you don't know, you might already know this, but I wanted to know. The Long Beach population is 438,000. I'd say you're a catalyst in Long Beach. You're a small percentage. Anybody got any guesses on the Los Angeles metropolitan area? Anybody want to guess? I work with kids. You can shout it out. How many? 12 million. 12. You're probably going to need the gift of faith to believe that you can be a catalyst among 12 million people. But you can. You can do great things with him. The world around us is crying out. They want to be loved. They want to be needed. And they want to belong. And you place the lonely in a family. That's who you are. You go out and you love. But go ahead and let's start the, I feel like let's go on. All right, so when I started at Bethel Church, I had been a children's pastor at a small Assemblies of God church in Woodland, California. And I'd done that for a number of years and was running hard after everything that God had for the kids that were in my care. Are you guys in that? I didn't actually look for it, but so there's Tim. In case you didn't believe him, he was with me. When I started, when I moved to Reading, let me get there. So when I moved to Reading, the Lord said, I don't want you to do anything. I want you to do nothing. And I want you to sit at my feet because I want to teach you your identity. Because at the time, my identity was Deanna's mom, my daughter, a wife, a children's pastor. Like, that's like high up there, hey, ministering in the church. And that's how I saw myself. But the Lord needed to teach me that I was his daughter. And that was the most valuable thing that I can ever, ever be. His daughter. That's enough. He doesn't need anything else from me. His daughter. And so I did that. And then when I went in, they knew me from coming up. Remember, I was a God chaser. I'd go up there to conferences. And so they knew me, and they were like, what are you doing here? And I'm like, well, I moved here about 6 months ago. Are you kidding? Why didn't you come in before? And I, like, explained why. And so they gave me a group. They wanted somebody to take the older kids and teach them to be leaders because they were kind of aging out and being goofy, you know, like, you have probably some of that here. So maybe you don't. I don't know. If you don't, awesome. If you do, just tell Steph. She'll whip them into shape. So so I did that and took them in. Well, previous to that, I had been traveling as a vision service plan insurance for eyeglasses, if any of you work for corporate and have that insurance. And I would travel all over the United States, and I would do benefit fairs where I'd sit at a table and tell people why they should sign up for VSP, and it was an amazing program. So I was in Maryland, and I thought, I'm a seize the day kind of girl. I thought, well, I've never been to DC before. I'm gonna figure out how to get there. I'm gonna get on a metro and go in. So I go in, and I take one of those little red bus things, you know, like cable car-ish. I don't know what, hop on, hop off buses. That's what they're called. Thank you, intercessors. So I did one of those. I pull up in this hop on, hop off bus to the Lincoln Memorial, and I hear, not again, not the audible voice, but for those of you that have recognized that Holy Spirit voice, you know what I'm talking about. It's in your head, but it's very clear and distinguishable. And I hear, bring the children. And that's it. And I'm like, what does that mean? At the time, I had not gone to Bethel. I've not done that. So when I got there, I suddenly remembered, bring the children. And I'm like, I got to bring the children. I heard the Holy Spirit say it. I got to do it, and I got to do it now. And so I went and said, I feel like I'm supposed to take teams of kids to D.C. Can I do that? And they said, no. Like, they'd never even, who brings teams of kids from Redding, California, all the way to Washington, D.C.? And I was like, felt like somebody punched me in the stomach, deflated my balloon, you know? But thankfully, I was mature enough and realized that I need to pray into it, and there was a reason. I need to submit to my leaders, even if I didn't like it, and that God was bigger than that. He's bigger than even a dream of mine. He's bigger than that. He'll work it out. So I laid it down, but I did, not in an obnoxious way, but every now and then when I felt I could, I would ask again, is it okay now? And eventually it was okay. So I started small, and what I want, I'm going to tell you a few stories about these slides that I'm going to show you. But what I want you to be listening for, we tell the kids to put their Holy Spirit ears on, you know, and we'll do like this. So I want you all to put your Holy Spirit ears on, and I want you to be listening for how God is going to speak to you about these things, but in a different way. It's not the same. You're not in D.C., and some of these pictures are a decade or more old. And so, but I want to share the testimony, because it's the spirit of prophecy. What he did once, he will do again. And so these kids, you can see that one, they're lined up there. We would go, the one thing that's really on my heart, it was the abortion issue. And we partnered with Justice House of Prayer, which is a Lou Engle deal, if you don't know. And they're there, and we partnered with them. And they would come and meet us there. Teach us how to do this. So nothing can be on the steps. It's not allowed. There's a lot of honor and decorum in Washington, D.C. And so nothing can be on the steps. These kids wear life tape on them, and they stand there. So anybody have an 11-year-old or know an 11-year-old? You got those? Yeah, you got them? Okay. They stood there for an hour, not speaking, but praying for the unborn and for the mothers of the unborn. And afterwards, down in the lower right, they would, the J-Hop team was there, and we would have communion together, and then we would stand in the middle of Washington, D.C., between the Supreme Court and the Capitol building, and sing, "Nothing but the blood washes away our sin." They would stand there with all their voices in a circle, 11 and 12-year-old kids, and sing, "Nothing but the blood." Up in the upper right, it's a little disconcerting. Well, actually, go back to the left. Can you see all that crowd of people back there? It's very crowded there. We go at Easter break. There's a ton of people there. And a couple things happened. Some of them would walk by with cameras, video cameras, early on, then it progressed to iPhones, And they would walk down and go and videotape us. I felt like I was in a zoo. They would videotape the whole group. It's very intimidating. These kids stood firm. They stood firm. And you're not too sure what's happening at your back. You can hear sirens. You can hear commotion back there. You can feel the attack of the enemy at your back. You can feel it. It's intense. And they would have people, J-Hop would be way back there. So this picture up in the upper right is a congressman from Minnesota. He came there, a state senator. And he came up and I felt a hand on my back and I was like, eh. And then he whispered in my ear, he goes, I just want you to know what you're doing with these kids is so incredible. I want to walk up and down. I'm going to pray protection over you. So you'll hear me walking back and forth, up and down, praying over you. And that was like just an awesome moment. So in Revelation, it talks about there's bowls in heaven. And these golden bowls and angels. And in my mind, it's like beautiful. Beautiful and full of the awe of God. I'm reading that book with you. Yeah, you're done. I'm behind. Anyway, it talks about in the bowls are the prayers of the saints, and they're like incense. And when those bowls get full, they tip out on the earth, and it's answered prayer. And I believe that these teams that went I did 7 of them, 7 years of kids standing there, all the way up to the last one was close to 40. I think we had 38 people, close to 40, filled those bowls, and Roe v. Wade was overturned. What you do in prayer is not small. It fills those bowls, and eventually it tips out. Just be obedient to the Holy Spirit. Do the next one, please. There's this girl standing there. So, so proud of him. I mean, that like deeply touches me that they stand there. And that they would stand for the unborn. So the next one. Ah, this is a big one. Okay, so you can call me delusional. I don't care. I don't mind. I know what I've heard from the Lord. So this is one of my very first ones. That's how small we were. That's it, right there. That's us, first time. And we're standing there, and I told them, I anoint their hands with oil. With kids, you want to be active. They're not just going to go and stand and pray forever somewhere, so you got to be really active. So anoint their hands with oil and then touch the bars. And to give you some context, President Obama was in office then. We never talked about left, right, Democrat, not. We talked about honor is what we talked about. And so I'm standing there, and I hear, swing wide the gates. Let the King of Glory come in. And I'm like, whoa, what do I do with that? And I felt from the Holy Spirit that I was to divide them down the middle. And then we were all going to open up the gates. You can see that one picture where they opened up the gates. But they didn't just do an act. We did it verbally. It wasn't just about our feet. It was about putting our whole body into it. So we're standing out there at the back of the Capitol, or the back of the White House, and we open that up. Swing wide the gates, let the King of Glory come in. I think they said it 7 times. 7's a great number. And I believe those prayers were fulfilled this year, because there is now an office of faith, if you didn't know it, in the White House. There are key leaders from all Christian faiths, in there, Baptist, Pentecostal, across the board. And there is regular worship sessions in the White House. So the gates are open. And I know we weren't the only ones praying, but we were praying, and we filled those bowls, and it tipped out. Okay, next one. Got into, I'm a crazy woman. I am a crazy woman for Jesus. I believe all things are possible. So I just went after it. I'll go after something and would rather have a no to my face than to not ask and think I might have missed an opportunity. These are all key leaders in government. We would get in the offices. What happens is we walk the halls. Oh, gosh, where am I? Am I at my 45 minutes yet? Somebody? What time do you normally quit? Okay. Is that cause? Is that who I'm looking at? No? Okay. Well, you said it with authority, so I believe it. So we took the kids, divided them up in teams, so there'd be three or four with a leader like Tim. And I get these crazy ideas that I'm pretty sure from the Holy Spirit, mostly have been from the Holy Spirit. Never had wrong motives, so even if it wasn't directly from God, he's going to honor it and bless it, and we're going around changing the world. So I got this idea one year that we were going to hit every single congressional member's office. There are 456. We're a catalyst in a big place. So these kids, and it needs to be the kids, because they're going to be like, lady, weird lady, you know. So these little kids walk in all these offices, and they come bearing gifts. We usually make something, a prophetic gift. Like one year, I wanted to release joy, and so we bought red, white, and blue, everything I could find that was red, white, and blue, patriotic, and gave them like a little gift bag, you know, like you would at a wedding or something, you know, those little cellophane bags or a birthday. And stuffed it with like paper airplanes and bouncy balls and crazy stuff. Like, you know, you would think I was crazy if you didn't know me and see that what I, you know, it's like, yeah, I know she gets some wild ideas, but they usually turn out. So we did that, and I'm just following the Holy Spirit. Follow the Holy Spirit. We hand those out, and I'm walking down, and all of a sudden, I turn around, and typically one side is Democratic, the other is, in the offices, Republican, if you go to visit. And I could see the staff shooting airplanes from the Republican side over to the Democratic side, and they were shooting it back, and everybody's laughing. And joy got released that day. That day also, I had a man, I don't know if it was an angel or a CIA agent, dressed in the black like coat, you know, like big, tall man, came out of one of the offices and walked up to me and said, "You have no idea how important this work is." And I was like, "Thank you." I felt like I did, but after he said that, I thought, "Ooh, maybe I really don't." You know, like maybe I really don't. So these are all kids that I either asked to meet with them, or in the case of, you probably can't recognize him there in the middle, that's Senator Mike Lee. I don't know if you know who he is, from the state of Utah. And those boys, those 11-year-old boys who in my classroom, I'm like, they walked into that office because I trained them with such honor and blessing and thankfulness that the staff said, "Senator Lee didn't go home for Easter break. I really would like you guys to meet with him and pray for him." So they went back at an appointed time and met with him. The rest of them you can see praying for different leaders. The bottom right was at the time, that was the Senate chaplain. And they got in and got talked to, and pray, you know, we pray for everyone. So go ahead. There's the halls up in the left, meeting with one of the offices. Down in the bottom right, they pray. Pray, 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 pray. Their prayers are powerful. And so they're praying over, they read, I taught them to read who it was, and then ask the Holy Spirit what they should pray, because on the outside plaque, it says what committee they're on. So they might be on the Ways and Means Committee. So We study all that and like, you know, what's the Ways and Means Committee? How do we pray? So we did that. And in the middle, I put that picture in there because we had an incident happen. When you go with honor and love and thankfulness, doors open. Doors open. We enter his gates with thanksgiving. That's how we get in. The gates open when we go with thanksgiving. So you have to clear security, obviously, and you walk right in the building, and there's like airport, basically airport security, and you have to go through that. And so we did. I want to honor everybody, even the security guards, which means we're not going to have kids going through security like, oh, wait, I gotta, and holding the whole thing up, you know. So they know how to be prepared to go through security. And this one trip, they were always good, but this one trip, the Holy Spirit was highlighting this, and they would go through, and they're quiet. These are marble floors. You walk in there with 38 people trying to be quiet and respectful if the kids are talking or any of that kind of stuff, so they knew what to do. Well, this one time we went through, and the security guards are there, and the one guy looks at the other guy, and he goes, who are these people? Are they like from outer space? Like, what is this? You know, he kind of looked at me and grinned, and he goes, no, seriously, who are you? We have never, ever had a group go through like this. You know, what do you do? Which opens the door for me to talk about what we're actually doing there. And that's cool. So go ahead. One year, I'm laughing because I'm like, God used it, but I'm like, it was a lot. I decided that all the kids couldn't go to D.C. It was a select group. And I decided that I wanted them all to be involved in learning that they can change our nation through what they pray and what they do. So on Sunday mornings, I taught prophetic art, which basically is asking the Holy Spirit for a picture and then an interpretation. So my partner in crime and I decided that we were going to get a prophetic art picture for every member of Congress again. So I had at the time I only had two classes, about 40 or 50 each. So to do that, that's a lot of prophetic art. It was a lot of Wednesdays. I mean, I'll be honest, there was a little bit I was like, ka-chish! Prophesy, you know, like we were just, you know, the kids were great about it. They loved it, but it was a lot. And then, of course, we had to put them on the black paper, and I didn't realize how much I'm telling you this so that it's like one of those, maybe think three steps ahead when you get these ideas or get some, you know, think about it. It was expensive to mail, but we mailed them. The one on the right is actually one of the senators that put the art up on the wall. The one on the left, I was giving a talk to a group that had come to Bethel and speaking, and the sound guy's in the back, and he sees that picture and who it's for. See there, the Honorable Kay Hagan from North Carolina. He was from North Carolina, and it says, God is holding your heart in his hand. He will protect you. Somebody had tried to kill her. It was like an assassination attempt, and he was floored. He like, what? You know, so yeah, that was cool. That was cool. Okay, go ahead. There we are. We did a bunch of stuff. All of it like God opening doors. Upper left, we would go to Arlington, and I want them to watch what honor looks like. So they're there where the guards are. Most of you probably know this, but they're there, rain, shine, snow, sleet. They don't stop. They're marching back and forth. There is a changing of the guard, but we went and we watched it. But you have to stand there silent. So you're standing there silent through the whole thing. These guards off to the right saw the kids standing with honor and attention at their young age. And they said, we'd like you to come over here and take a picture with us. And so there we are getting a picture. The bottom one is the kids standing there watching. And then off to the right, there's Bricky. This is one of my interns. We went to Lincoln Memorial, and it's like a busy space. So I want you to be thinking about if you're going to do outreach, if you're going to do these things, you've got to think through the logistics of it. Sit down with the Holy Spirit or with leaders and like, okay, what does this actually look like? Step by step by step. So we're going to the Lincoln Memorial. It's a very crowded place. It's touristy. People are like walking all over. They don't want you walking up to them and saying, can I pray for you? You know, they're doing their thing. They're on vacation. But, you know, I serve Jehovah Sneaky, and he will give you ideas that are sneaky that will still get through. So I got this idea to get American flags. And on the back, the kids got prophetic words. And I typed them up, and we filled, I don't even know how many, hundreds of flags. And the kids then walk up and say, would you like a flag? Well, if you're at the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C., of course you want a flag. And then it opened the door then for them to say whatever was on the back. So be sure to check with Jehovah Sneaky when you're doing outreach ministry. Okay, next one. They're just some examples. We stood the middle one, that young lady I brought up. One time I got this wild idea. We're going to bring a bell. We're going to stand in a square facing the Capitol, and we're going to do declarations. We're going to pray and ask declarations. So again, crazy stuff, people looking at us. She's standing there ringing that bell and made a declaration. Off to the right, we're at J-Hop. They invited us over there to their worship and prayer session, and the kids are standing up and, you know, giving prophetic words and stuff. To the left, we're invited to a church. Might look like that lady is praying for her, but no, she is praying for the lady. She got a word, interesting, kids are different if your kids tell you things, those of you that are parents. She got a word that she had stomach problems, and nobody came forward. And so I'll step in and kind of help out. And so I'm just asking, okay, stomach problems, why is no one responding? Because I really believe she had a word of the Lord. Well, it was something with her uterus. Well, you know, 11-year-olds don't know the word uterus, or maybe even what it is, you know. So it was a problem. And when I clarified that, that lady ran right up. Next one. Here we are at the state capitol, state of California capitol. So do not worry. Prayers have been sown into this state. God is going to use this state again. There is gold in these hills, they used to say. There's still gold handed here, and these kids have prayed. See this little girl on the right? We were invited to sit in the gallery, and she's praying. I've got one little girl down here on the bottom, just went and sat down with her backpack, and she's just sitting there praying. We've got kids worshiping, all kinds of stuff going on. Well, what we did is we went in on Valentine's Day. This is perfect. I got this idea from somebody that would go, this is for you maybe. This person would go into bars on Mother's Day and hand out roses and prophesy over the people that were in the bars. And so I got the idea from them. I thought, I'm going to take the kids, go on Valentine's Day, and we're going to go into every office in the state capitol, and we are going to tell them thank you because we enter his gates with thanksgiving. And so we would say, they would go in, they'd just thank the staff for all they're doing for our state. You're an important part of what makes our state great. You know, they had their little thing. And then if they felt led, they would prophesy. So the next slide, go on. Oh, I don't know where it went. Never mind, that's a whole different story. So they would get into offices. There's pictures taken. Eventually, we went year after year, and people recognized them. They kept the things in their desks that we gave them. Like, oh, you're back. And they were, like, welcoming to them. The kids would, one time a young man got a word. He felt like we hadn't covered all the offices. So his leader, being wise, said, okay, so what do you want to do? And he goes, I feel like the Lord's saying there's somebody down in the basement, like there's offices down there that we're missing. And they went down there, and sure enough, there were offices down there, and they were able to minister to them. But we eventually, a senator caught hold of us year after year, being faithful, showing up on Valentine's Day every year. The last year we had 48, I believe, close to 50. I'm pointing at Tim because, you know, he was part of that, I think. They invited us to sit in the gallery, and they made a special resolution from the California State Senate commending Destiny Kids for their work in the state of California. And the senators stood up and gave the kids a standing ovation. This is, you know, like, I'm sick of cancer. I'm sure you are too. So I took the kids and we would go pray outside cancer centers. Any of you can go into any hospital and there's a chapel. Always there's a chapel. And you can go sit in there and pray. Well, I wanted to go a step further, so I took the kids in, and you can see the little girl there seeking God for a picture. And there's one of them. And so we left a stack of pictures. There was an altar there, and we left the stack of pictures on the altar. Somebody went back 2 months later. I thought for sure, like, somebody's going to come in and see those, and they're just going to, like, throw them away, you know, kind of thing. We went back, like, 2 months. As far as I know, they might still be there. I should go up there and see. But 2 months later, those pictures are still there, and they had been gone through and spread all out on the altar. I'd left them in a stack, but they'd gone through and spread them out in an altar. So go ahead, the next one. Taught him to preach on the left. One of my dreams, you know, Steph said she has a dream. I've got two stadium events for kids. And the second one is, which that's partially been fulfilled, but I think it needs to go farther. The second one is kids preaching the word of God. On the right, I used to take them into Walmart, and, you know, I'd sit them down. They all got to get a dollar thing off the dollar. You know, is there still a dollar menu? I don't eat at McDonald's, but is there? Okay, so they got a dollar thing. I can spring for that. And we sat at the tables, and they would do art. And then I just had my car full. I had a van then, so I had my car full. And so I would get a shopping cart, and we just kind of walked around with those six or seven kids that I had, and I looked like a mom. My hair wasn't gray, so I looked like a mom. And I would train them in the Holy Spirit how to spot the person they were supposed to give that picture to and then prophesy over them. And it was hard. Would it be hard for you? Yeah, it was hard for them, but they're brave. They're brave. And we had incredible testimonies, which I won't talk about because we're running short on time. I can feel it now. Is the next one? Is that the last one? No. Oh, this one. I didn't ask permission for this. I just want to say that right up front. I got the idea. I didn't research it. I just did it. So apparently afterwards, it is not legal to do sidewalk chalk in front of schools. Seems crazy, hey? I got this idea. The kids are going to go, and they're going to get prophetic words. Because I asked them, what do you want to do? If you could change something, what would you want to change? And they said, teenagers. And I was like, cool. Okay, what do we do about that? I go, and I'll give them some ideas, and then they choose. So this one, we ended up doing all the elementary schools as well. I had sidewalk chalk all over Reading. So it washes away. What's the big deal? But check with your school district, or even better, if I thought of it, you could go in and just say what you're going to do, and open another door, another opportunity. But these kids, look at Jordan, God loves you so much. So if your name's Jordan, you're in high school, and you are walking to school, you're going to be like, who did that? Like, you know? And then the joyful, you're important, you know, they did all that. We would go out sometimes at night, sometimes the daytime. This was a Wednesday night thing that we did. So the next one, is there another one? I can't remember where I ended. Is that it? Okay, that's it. So Jesus said, like, I always get them confused. Hang on. The Judea, Samaria, and I always get them confused. I used to feel really bad about it, but it's okay. You know what I'm talking about. Go ye into all the world. Somebody help me. Which one's first? Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem. Thank you. Thank you. So start local. Start in your area and then spread out. Start local. And obviously, you've got to get permission, get on a, you know, you're just beginning this journey. But I want to light a fire, and I want to be a spark to the future things that God's going to have you do. And I don't want you to be afraid. I think that's the big thing. Fear held me back for so long. You've got nothing to be afraid of. Nothing. I'm a Brandon Lake fan. Where is his song? Did I do it? I meant to do it. Did it disappear? It's the one about, it disappeared. That's so weird. I serve a miracle working, ocean splitting, dead raising God. Nothing is impossible. Like, if he's with you and he's dreaming it and you tap into that dream, everything is possible. And so we've got to break the fear off. We've got to remember there's a lion living inside of us, and we need to shake off the grave clothes, huh? Take off the fig leaves, whatever you want. He first said that, and I was like, not this. it's where we're going. It's the new season that we are moving into, and we have got to be bold and brave. And he's called each of you that are here. If you're here, it's not an accident. I'm not here by accident. Dean is not here by accident. Carrie and Hannah are not here by accident. You just got set up by God. You know, like it's a divine setup. You're not here by accident. You're a catalyst in a place where your Samaria is 438,000. Your Judea is 12 million. And I didn't look up the state of California, but it's a lot. So that's your land, and it already belongs to you. It already belongs to you. You just have to take it. You just have to go in. You don't need spies. You just have to go in. You know, it's a new day. Just go in. So I want to, Ross, you can come now. I want you to respond. I want everyone to respond, but I'm not going to force you, and neither will the Holy Spirit. The reason is, when you hear something and it hits your heart, it's like a seed being planted. And if you let that, I was thinking, what's that mindful thing that Barry, not mindful, the practicing things, the book, I wrote it down, I can't remember, like your habits. Yeah, mini habits. So that mini habit book, I'm going to read that. So, but you know, you guys probably read it, and I'd be willing to say that there are people in here that read it, and maybe one of them or two of them, you're like, I need to do that. And you meant to do it, but you never started it, or you never stuck with it. And so it becomes dead seed then. So when you hear a message, and if anything I have said has struck your heart, if you don't respond and move forward, if you do not take action and move forward, it then just kind of falls away. You forget about it. It's like not as important. Right now it's burning in your heart. The Holy Spirit is burning it into your heart and mind. But if you let it go, we'll let it go. And when you respond, when you take a step forward out of your seat and you move, that's the first step, the first response to God using you. And I just want to invite you to take, go ahead, come on, people, Ross. I actually want you to be bold, and before the music starts even, if the Holy Spirit's been burning anything in you as I've been speaking, he brought something to mind, a ministry, a people group, an idea, And maybe you're like, I don't want to get out of the seat because I don't want to be in charge of it. That's okay. That's okay. God will place you in the right place with the right people. So if that's you, before I really feel this is from the Lord, you've got to get bold now. It's time to, we've been talking a lot about putting our big girl pants on or our big boy pants on, you know, like it's time to grow up in the Lord. And we don't need music to respond. So in silence, we're going to worship, but in silence, if anything, and please don't respond if it's not you. I don't need you to respond to make me feel good anymore. I don't want that. I want genuine responses from you. If you can hear the anointing on my message, if you know that this is a season that Catalyst is meant to explode into your communities and God wants to use you. If you want to be used of God, grow closer to the Holy Spirit, please respond now, either up here, at the back, wherever you want, just while it's silent. We want to be bare before the Lord. Go ahead and move. We want to be bare before the Lord. If it's you, if you can feel the burning, just Holy Spirit, just thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We lay everything down. Consume us on your altar, Lord. We give everything. We give our all. Thank you, Lord. You can continue to come out as you feel the leading, as you're seeking him. God, is this me? It's not an end to this altar call. Yeah. Okay. If you have children, please go pick them up because you love your children's workers. But if anything I said watching these kids, if you said, I want that for my kids, I want that, bring them back in here with you. Bring them back in here into the presence of the Lord. There is no better place for them to be than in the house of the Lord in worship. So go get them and come back and sit with your children in here. Thank you. And then prayer team, if you would... few of you, we've got some people down here that are on fire, and I just want you to come down and fan the flames of what the Holy Spirit's doing.